From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome and thank you for joining us. It is Sunday, the 22nd day of August, 2010. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours. And we just have a ton of incredibly important news that I want to go over today. But I also want to open the phones up for everyone with specific questions. Now, I rarely open the phones up and say, hey, if you call, I want you to comment on this particular issue. But at least in the first hour today, if you call, please give me your take on this issue. How many times do we have to be lied to by government and mainstream corporate media to stop trusting these people and realize they're a bunch of crooks that don't have our best interest at heart? And what are some of the biggest lies that they've been caught in over and over again? Not just government and media and politicians, but corporations as well. And how long are people going to put up with it? You see the population beginning to wake up, beginning to become aware of what's happening. We're going to open the phones up today on this issue. The toll-free number to join us is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244, and we will get you up and on the air today. You're also welcome to comment after you give me your view on those questions I just threw out there. Is how many lies will we put up with? Why do some people put up with lies and just accept it and say that's the way it is? But if your neighbor or your spouse or your boss or your employee or your pastor got caught doing things like this, no one would associate with them. Well, we can't get rid of the government. It runs our lives. But we can certainly reduce its size and change the system back to the Bill of Rights and Constitution. But it's going to be a long, hard road. So I want to get your view on, why do they lie to us so much? Why do some people put up with it? What are some of the big lies? And what do you think the biggest lies are? And how big is this awakening that's happening right now? I mean, everybody admits there's a major political realignment happening. You know, the Bilderberg Group is now major news every day. People are waking up to shadowy government forces and special interest. I want to have a basic discussion on those major issues. Now, when we come back from break in the long segment coming up, we're going to talk about more of the lies, more of the propaganda, more of the deception, like the claim that all combat operations are over in Iraq. We heard that 7 years ago from Bush. We're now hearing it from Obama. But all they're doing is changing the names of the combat brigades to a new designation, a security force assistance group, but they're still going to be in combat. They're still going to be dying. They're still going to be wounded. So they're semantically manipulating there. So we'll be discussing that. Also, other lies. They claim that Julian Assange had raped and molested women. And within an hour of saying it Saturday, they backed off and said it was completely untrue. But our media is basically still running with it. More and more, I've been studying the WikiLeaks situation. And I think WikiLeaks are good people. I think the 92,000 documents they were given, obviously a lot of it has propaganda. A lot of warfare internally is putting disinfo, overstating a threat to get more funding. And so some of the reports themselves they released are disinformation. All of it's suspect, but WikiLeaks has done a lot of good work. And one of the favorite government tactics to throw at people is, oh, they're government agents too. And we've looked at that and investigated it and heard all sides on it. But I just don't agree with it. And now they're talking about indicting Julian Assange. And so more and more, I think that he's a good guy and that WikiLeaks are good folks. But they have been manipulated a bit. But, you know, nobody's perfect. That happens to everybody. Also, later in the next hour, there's a huge spectrum of news out there where it's confirmed by the scientists out in the Gulf and others that the leak is still ongoing. Just fractures in the floor of the sea. And Obama's saying there's no health problems. We know that's a lie. We're going to break down the fact that the oil well's still leaking and that they haven't gotten rid of 70% of the oil, as they've said, and a bunch of other news. It's all coming up after this quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, my friends. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday, the 22nd day of August 2010. We're going to be here live for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday with the abbreviated broadcast. And I'm back Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, live. Again, I want to thank all of the new affiliates that are picking up the weekday broadcast and the Sunday evening transmission. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have wide open phones on any of the news items, any of the issues that I'm about to raise this evening. But first, I want to throw this question out to listeners. And you're welcome to call in about any subject you want, any of the news I cover, any news you want to talk about, any questions, any comments you have for me. But occasionally I do ask listeners to give me their take on something. So I would like you to first give me your take on, why do so many people accept government and media and corporations lying to them and doing illegal things and all sorts of skullduggery over and over again? And then now as a society, a lot of people go, yeah, the government's bad, it's corrupt, it's out of control, but that's just what they do. This has become the new attitude, that we just accept that government's out of control and government doesn't have any checks and balances on it, and that government can do whatever it wants. And government at all levels is giving its minions directives to basically knock the heads of the public and push the public around and train us that we're there to serve them and the offshore banking interests that control the government. So why do people put up with lies, even if they're angry about it? They kind of just give in to it, like a woman who's, you know, in an abusive relationship or something. Have we had our will broken? Are we cowed as a society, or is there a big awakening taking place? We know it's big. The question is how big? And what are some of those mega lies that we've heard and seen from government and corporations and media where they've been proven that they were stonewalling and deceiving by design? I've got a list I want to go over coming up at the bottom of the hour. And what do you think the biggest lie of the last 100 years or so from major governments and media and corporations has been? The toll-free number to join us on this live Sunday edition is 888-201-2244. Again, that number is 888-201-2244, and we will get you up and on the air today. Now, let me just briefly go over each of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 stacks of news I have here. Let me just at least read to you some of the headlines, and then I'm going to try to plow back into these. But just to give you an idea of why I get so frustrated, this is just the news that I brought in today from doing some research over the weekend, and the news that my crew printed for me to read before I went live on air. This is just a small snapshot of what's going on. We're being told that all major combat operations are over in Iraq and that the troops have all been pulled out. It's a total and complete lie. Combat brigades in Iraq under different name. That's the Army Times admitting this. Throughout the last week, I told you it was a fraud. Now the AP, Army Times, and others admit they've just changed their names. They did rotate some troops out. Most of them are going to Afghanistan, but there's still a major force there. We'll be talking about that. Also, Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, for a few hours they claimed that he'd raped and molested women. Turns out none of it's true. It's a complete, total lie. Kind of like they said Rand Paul 2 weeks ago had kidnapped this woman. Turned out that was a total lie. But it doesn't matter. Still, that idea is out there with the people, and that's associated with his name. And he's saying he believes the Pentagon may be behind the rape claims, and he'd been warned that they'd try to set him up with something with a sexual twist, because all the ninnies and showing circles out there love to buy into it. So we'll be getting into that. Obviously, on the whole military front, Iran fires up its Bashar reactor, promises painful response if attacked, and has launched a new attack drone. Israel more and more is talking about attacking Iran, which will clearly lead to massive crisis in the Middle East and Central Asia and a huge increase in oil prices. U.S. assures Israel that Iran's threat is not imminent. Well, Israel's a nuclear power. They know it's not imminent. They know the Russians built the Bashar reactor. They know that at full power, running 24/7, that they might get enough plutonium in 5 years to build a bomb. So it's not imminent. And the Russians have a contract and are running the plant to take the fuel rods out when they're done with them. So, I mean, what are the Iranians going to do? Stick the Russians up? You'll put a gun to their head and say, give me that uranium, and then go throw a bomb together like a ham sandwich? It doesn't work like that. Okay? So we'll be going over those reports as well. Israel says the Iranian reactor is totally unacceptable. Iran unveils the ambassador of death bomber. I shouldn't laugh. It's just so ridiculous because Ahmadinejad is saying it's an ambassador of peace, and the name of the weapon is the ambassador of death. It's just ridiculous. We're not the only country that's got leaders with Orwellian statements. Israel says jets and drones enter Lebanon space in the first time in several years. Israel tells UN it will stop a new Gaza aid flotilla coming out of Turkey, this time manned completely by women. So it'll be a bigger PR disaster for Israel when they board and attack that ship. But Israel doesn't care. They're going ahead with it. So that's all just some of the news that we're going to be covering on that military front today. Coming up later in the next hour, I want to spend at least a segment on this. Senior NOAA scientist admits he lied that Gulf spill oil is gone, puts administration spill disclosure credibility in question, and it's all over the news. In the last week, that when the federal government through the Department of NOAA came out and said, look, don't worry, 70% of the oil spill's gone, that was a complete lie. And then a lot of different university heads and major oceanographers and scientists came out and said, look, you just sprayed 40-plus million gallons of core exit on it and made the oil stop floating on the water and go underwater. This stuff's coming in on the beaches. And you're telling everybody that the oil spill 70% cleaned up, but you're not just lying about that. You're also lying about the fact that up to 20 miles away, there's fissures in the ocean floor, and that BP shaft that was drilled by the Deepwater Horizon has shattered, and we've known this for months now, and is leaking all over the ocean floor. And so their new way to deal with it, their new way to handle it, is to just say, doesn't exist. 70% of the oil has been cleaned up, and there's no fissures on the floor, and everything's fine. And then last week, BP came out and said, okay, there are some fissures nearby, but those are other areas leaking, oil naturally coming up from the floor, jetting and blasting out. And so out of sight, out of mind. I mean, you know, they tell you there's no longer any combat troops or combat in Iraq. Doesn't matter if they've increased the contractors and private operatives. Doesn't matter if they've renamed 50,000 troops as combat assistance brigades, not combat brigades. They're combat assistance brigades. Kind of like we lost 4,000 to 6,000 troops from 1960 to 1964 before they kicked off the official Vietnam police operation. It was never declared a war. But before the conflict became official with the Gulf of Tonkin stage event, where they claimed that our ships were attacked, that's declassified, that was staged now. Of course, that's another big government lie. For decades, 40 years, in fact, they said that our ships had been attacked and that it was conspiracy theories that people on board the destroyers had said that no one attacked the ships and it was all staged. And on the 40th anniversary, a few years ago, 2004, they released all the LBJ audio tapes with McNamara, and they released the documents, and the CIA admitted they staged the whole thing, and no one was attacked. Another big lie. 58,000 dead Americans, hundreds and hundreds of thousands seriously maimed, and they're getting ready with a new fake war claiming Iran has got nukes. You think our economy's bankrupt now? You wait till they attack Iran and oil prices double or triple. You wait till real terrorists from Iran start actually responding and blowing stuff up. The globalists running our government are going to love it. They're all in their armored compounds. They're going to use those attacks to turn America into a total and complete police state. Okay, I got a bunch of other news coming up on the economy. Stay with us.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. So you get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it. I don't like it.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday broadcast. Continuing with the news, and then I'm going to take your calls and dive back into more detail on all these subjects that we're raising today. I'm just giving you a breakdown and briefing of some of the information that I think is most important. You're welcome to call in and give us your view on what you think is most important. We're going to get to the 12 callers that we have holding coming up in the next segment. I may even get to you during this segment. But continuing with the stacks of news here in front of me, this is the news out of Mexico in the last day without even looking. I mean, if I wanted to paint a picture of Mexico as a failed state, of Mexico as a joke and as a danger to this country and a border that we must seal and control, it's not hard. Because Mexico, and the State Department admits this, is one of the most dangerous countries in the world, and it's now spilling over into this country. Look at this headline. One dead in Mexico shootout on border with El Paso, a shootout across the border, prompting U.S. authorities to close a highway that runs across the border into El Paso, Texas. This is an everyday occurrence. The shooting went on for 30 minutes. Here's another one. Mexican police help murder their own mayor. See, when you don't have a Bill of Rights or a Constitution, and you're like North Korea or Mexico, and you give in to corruption, things just completely collapse. And the mayor was murdered. Let me just read you part of the article here. The murder scared a part of Mexico that was supposed to be reasonably safe. See, nowhere's safe there now. From violence and crime, Santiago is a picturesque town of waterfalls, colonial churches, and holiday homes for the rich. Its mayor, Edmilro Cavazos, was a blue-eyed 38-year-old educated in the United States. But it seems that no corner of the country is shielded from the relentless rain of drug-related bloodshed. They're living under tyranny there. The killers came to the mayor's home in the early hours when seven SUVs rolled up and men in police uniforms descended on his palatial home. Servants stood back terrified as their boss was forced away at gunpoint. His corpse was dumped on a nearby road. There was a mercy of sorts in the manner of his killing. Shot dead with two bullets in the head and one in the chest, and spared the mutilation of rape inflicted on so many other victims. And it just goes on from there. This just happened 2 days ago. Here's another one. Calderon says, that's the Mexican president, U.S. arms drive drug violence, and he wants the Obama Justice Department to pass assault weapons bans, and the Justice Department is agreeing with this, saying, I shouldn't be able to own a semi-automatic rifle because it could later be sold to somebody who then takes it to Mexico. But then I've read the statistics, even from the Justice Department. Over 90% of the guns used in crime down there are bought directly from the military or the police. And the Mexican military, who's lost several wars with the U.S., doesn't like the United States. They get most of their equipment from Austria and Germany and Russia. They get some from the U.S. So it's not even M16s that a citizen can't buy at a gun shop. You have to get a special license for that. It's not even U.S. military hardware. It is stuff being shipped in from Europe and sold by the police. I mean, I just read the article. Who killed the mayor in that town? It goes on to admit that, yes, it's the police department and the state police are corrupt, and so no one can do anything about it. Look, ladies and gentlemen, Calderon's four-year-old war on drugs that's caused 28,000 people to be murdered, 28,000 dead, That's a higher death toll per year than Vietnam and the war we had. It is admitted on record that most of the governors over the Mexican provinces and most people in the federal government are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year off drug payoffs. And the drug war was after cowboys and four other cartels that were not controlled by the Mexican government, that were controlled by Colombians and Nicaraguans and others. So you got Central and South American cartels coming in, and they're tough, folks, and they're not backing off, and they're criminals. And they're having a war with the criminal Mexican government, and our government gives Mexico more than $10 billion a year. I saw a report a few months ago where they were talking about giving them $100 billion more over the next five, on top of the money they're given. Your tax money. Pull up the numbers. This is a giant war over drugs. And if you decriminalize them, that doesn't mean sell them at 7-Eleven. But if you make it where these stupid drug addicts can get their drugs, several European countries have done this, and drug use plummets. In many cases, by more than half, because it's not cool anymore and there's not money associated with it. So the scum selling drugs isn't living in mansions and driving around in fancy cars and owning private jets. It isn't cool. The drug dealers aren't hanging around with the Hollywood people anymore. It's so simple. And everybody who studied this knows it. I've talked to so many police on the street, and they go, yeah, we know the CIA's been caught shipping it in. I mean, how many times has the CIA been caught? I mean, just last year, a aircraft crashed with 3+ tons of pure cocaine. That means it's coming from the source in Colombia. And it was a CIA-registered aircraft that had been flying people out of the country for torture who'd been secretly arrested. And on the way back, the whole war on terror was just their cover. They were shipping in cocaine, but it got into a storm and crashed in Yucatan in southeastern Mexico. That's Reuters. That's on record. And you have the 1996 congressional hearings with the CIA Inspector General. I taped it on C-SPAN. You can go pull it up. All the C-SPAN archives of their entire 30-year history are now on C-SPAN.org. Just pull up CIA drug trafficking hearings. You can watch hours of it at C-SPAN.org. And, I mean, don't believe me. And they admitted the government ships them in. And they keep them illegal to keep the price up. Look, if somebody wants to go to a liquor store and buy, a gallon of vodka every day and ruin their liver, that's their business. And if somebody wants to buy cocaine and kill themselves with it, that's their business. You don't create a police state and corrupt the police. Look at the 10 years of prohibition in the 20s and the early 30s. Organized crime more than tripled. Alcoholism expanded. It energized organized crime and also corrupted police because now they could be paid off and demand a cut of it. And you notice when drug prohibition started, it started the year after alcohol prohibition ended. You got all these mafia people. You've got all these corrupt cops. And they're like, well, you can buy Coca-Cola if it's cocaine. You can buy opium, heroin at the corner drugstore. A 5-year-old can buy it. What are we going to do? And they said, we're going to make this illegal. And then we'll make even more money. And they said, hell yeah, let's do it. Again, I'm against drug use, just like Ron Paul is. But I'm not against it being legal or decriminalized because I hate drugs. And you decriminalize, it cuts it way back. Your call's coming up. Stay with us.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're back live and about to go to your phone calls. I want to make one more point about the deteriorating situation in Mexico. Every other nation on Earth has fallen to corruption. And when corrupt individuals are able to get control of government, they team up with corporations, with mafia, and they start passing laws to legally rob the public. And that's called tyranny. This nation's never been perfect, but it's been the greatest country in history. It's produced more wealth, more liberties, more freedoms. And that's what we're fighting for on this broadcast. That's what we promote at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And that's what our listeners stand for. That's why this show is so successful, because we not only have millions of listeners, they are activists. They are involved. Every guest we have on, whether it's Jesse Ventura, Ron Paul, Willie Nelson, or medical doctors like Dr. Russell Blaylock, brain surgeon, it doesn't matter. Every time we talk to them, they say, I get the biggest response of anything. Not Larry King Live, not Good Morning America, not their own television shows. This radio show on the streets of the United States, they get more feedback in person, more emails, more letters about this broadcast, because we have millions of listeners and they're active, and I salute you. And we're going to try to save this country, but it's in dire straits. And I now bring in the main topic that I want to talk to callers about. You're welcome to bring up whatever issue you want, but I want you to first comment on this. America is awakening, but how big is the awakening? Can we save this country? What ideas do you have to save this country? Why do some people, though, still just accept that government lies and it's okay for them to lie? Not just George Bush Sr. saying, read my lips, no new taxes, or Bill Clinton saying, I didn't have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, how dare you? Or the government lying about Gulf of Tonkin and saying our ships were attacked when they weren't, or the government knowingly lying about WMDs in Iraq, or the government calling for torture, ordering torture in public memos, then having a backlash and saying, we don't order torture. Then Bush 2 months ago says, I ordered torture, I'd order it again. But they sent the people who got caught doing it to prison who followed orders. I mean, what level? 6-7 years ago, the media would say there's no mercury in vaccines. And you could read the insert and it said it had mercury and was causing brain damage. So then they started a few years ago saying, well, yeah, there's mercury, but mercury's actually good for you, the federal government said. And I've played that clip probably 100 times. I'm not going to play it again. You know, folks won't believe it. Cue it up. Cue up mercury good for you clip. The point is, I've got MSNBC saying lead's good for children. You know, how many decades do they say the Federal Reserve is not private and you're a kook if you say it is? Now they admit it's private and secretive and they won't tell Congress where the money is. 11 years ago, they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, allowing banks to issue derivatives, made-up counterfeit currency and investments. And they promised it wouldn't hurt the economy. Now it's destroying the economy. They promised they wouldn't go after pension funds, public and private. Now it's an AP, Bloomberg. They're getting ready to start trying to take part or all of pension funds. They lie about everything. I mean, if you had a neighbor who you'd lived next to for 20 years, and you had caught them lying to you and doing stuff to you over and over again, how many times does it take for you to not trust them? One time, 2 times, 3 times? For me, it's about 3 times. 4 times, 5 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, 10,000 times? They told us there was no North American Union. There was no NAFTA highways. There was no Trans-Texas Corridor. As the signs were going up, as they were taking over existing roads, putting toll roads on them, they would get on the news and say, Ron Paul's a kook. There are no Trans-Texas highways. I saw the local paper once, the Chronicle, said that I was full of baloney and that Centra of Spain wasn't foreign. When it's admittedly foreign, the company, it's a tactic to just deny everything to your face. They said they wouldn't raise the age of Social Security. Obama said that. He did it. Now, see, what's happening is I'm starting to get into lies now, and then I'm not going to get to your calls. I want to hear your points on this, and then later I'm getting into the cover-up of the BP oil spill in the next hour and the economy and more. But Obama said he was going to stop torture. Didn't. He accelerated it. Said he was going to pull all the troops out. Immediately didn't do it. Now he's lying, saying there's no combat brigades, when the Army Times admits they've just changed their names and had a paltry amount come back and ship the others to Afghanistan, and increase the contractors. He said he wouldn't hire lobbyists, broke all records hiring lobbyists, said he'd make the White House more transparent than any president, made it the most secretive ever, even more secretive than Cheney, who'd broken all records. The lies are legion. I could go on and on and on and on. They said health care, government-run health care, would cover pre-existing conditions. I could read the bill. It said it didn't do it. It was written by insurance companies. to raise the cost, make 35 million people buy it, and then cut the quality with government panels, which are death panels. This is a criminal group that is beyond the point of no return. They've committed so many crimes. They've lied so much. They're not going to stop. The question is, how are we going to beat them? We're going to educate the population of the world. We're going to take back our states and counties and cities and sheriff's departments, as the founder said we should do through the 10th Amendment and the 9th. And we're going to take the federal government back, and we're going to indict these criminals. And we've got to introduce those ideas out there. All right. All right. I'm going to take your calls now until the bottom of the next hour. Then I'm going to get into BP, the economy. Google's plans to take over the internet have been exposed. We're also going to get into listeners and some great stuff you did Friday. Bilderberg was all over the news, so I said, listeners, let's make three terms associated with our articles and my films about Bilderberg, the top search terms. You did it. The number one, number two, and number three search terms for much of Friday, and that made hundreds of newspapers and blogs write about it. Devastating response. We've gotten literally millions of additional click-throughs and visits to these stories where people are becoming educated and awakened because of you taking action. It's just a huge success. The three top search terms dealt with Bilderberg Group on Friday because of you. Worldwide, you did it again. Okay, let's go to your calls. I got a lot of calls, so let's be quick. Let's talk to Aaron in Missouri. Aaron, you're on the air.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
I do want to talk to you about the Mexican drug war real quick, but first I want to say that I believe that these lies that are coming out, I think that the establishment is steadily putting out these lie stories to, because I do believe in the end they do want a revolution, but they want to wait until they got all their cameras up. They want to wait until everybody's carrying around a chip in the military and the police state's big enough to handle the revolution. They don't want people.
Exactly. They're war gaming it. They're testing it. They're tracking it. And they admit they're doing this. They want a violent revolution. I don't want that. I want a peaceful takeover of our country. I want to take it back from them.
And then I just got to watch this video on YouTube called Should People With No Health Insurance Have to Suffer in the Dark? And I urge your listeners to check that out. It's really, I think it ties right into American and Mexican drug wars about these 40 million people don't have health insurance, and it ties in with the pharmaceutical companies taking, you know, like pure heroin and turning into these synthetic devil pills that are more addicting than heroin.
Oh, that's the new thing. If you've got a back pain, they just give you Prozac. Good points. I appreciate your call, Aaron. Janice in Texas, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. This is regarding the biggest lie. And I'm sorry, I had to write it down because it's so big I can't even keep up with it. Even if you want to believe in or support the war, you couldn't even keep up with the ongoing lies. To name a few, bin Laden, Saddam Hussein killing Bush Sr., Afghanis, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, random men in caves, random Arabic names, usually only mentioned once.
Yeah, that's another point. That's another point. They've had all these different reasons we're supposedly there. And now in the Washington Post 2 months ago, Janice, stay there. I'm going to come back to you after the break. Now they admit, this is in the Washington Post, the CIA admits they created fake bin Laden videos, and they're like training us just to accept the lies. They admit that they're putting these fake videos out, the Adam Gadon videos, the Jewish Al-Qaeda guy, that's all fake. It's just all lies on top of lies on top of lies. What are we going to put up with? Okay, we're back live, going straight back to your phone calls. But one other big lie we've been told is that our government's not involved in narcotics trafficking. But now they not only admit that they create fake bin Laden videos for the public in the Washington Post, interviewing the CIA to throw it in our face, but that our troops are helping grow and protect and ship out the opium. And they just put it out there on Fox News and CNN like it's no big deal. They hide all of this in plain view. Janice, start back over. You're going over the big lie that you think is the wars. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I named off those a few of those terms, Bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, killing Bush Sr., the Afghanis, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, random men in caves, random Arabic names, usually only mentioned once, and the worst, I feel, is the war on terror. But the worst thing, Alex, I feel, is that Fox News, especially Bill O'Reilly and the warmongers over there, keep revisiting these any number of these issues, like, according to the story, they pick the reason, you know, randomly, whichever, to justify whatever they're trying to push, you know, the underwear bomber, that's the war on terror generally, or whatever. They keep on, you know, revisiting all
the
different
terms. And by the way, Janice, you mentioned the underwear bomber. We had the lawyer and his wife who were on the plane. The FBI said that they weren't telling the truth. Then it came out that the government had ordered him to be let on the plane, had given him a visa. The State Department admitted that, and that the whole thing was staged. And then as soon as that came out, the story disappeared from news headlines. That guy is a complete
exactly.
and total patsy.
And also the let's not forget that a million lawyers like showed up on the tarmac. How did they know?
Janice, I appreciate your call. But, I mean, look, every point you raise only brings up more lies. The federal government in the last year told us they are not saving the images of the naked body scanners. Now, they admit that they are saving them and that the TSA is ordered to do it, and it's going in state and federal courthouses, and at one courthouse, 34,000-plus naked body scans. They lied and said there was no radiation. Now we learn it's high levels of radiation, similar to a chest X-ray, deadly for those being scanned. That's the New York Times. Deadly for the TSA workers and the amount that leaches out. Again, any point you raise, it just chain reacts like dominoes into other lies. Chris in Illinois, you're on the air.
Hello, Alex. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome.
You know, I share in your frustration here. I was watching a movie the other day with a friend of mine, Gangs of New York. You seen that movie?
Yeah, with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's a good movie.
Exactly. And, you know, I realized, you know, we're not rebelling against all this conspiracy and all these lies we're being told. People are just too comfortable. You know, as long as we have our AC, we have the supermarkets where we can buy our food, and, you know, as long as we have all these amenities, we're okay knowing that we're slaves.
Well, you know the Victor Hugo quote that I love to use often, and that's adversity makes men, prosperity makes monsters. And really, if you look at tyranny, it's organized crime, builds up over decades, gets control of governments, and then runs hog wild. And we've now reached that point of where our society has put up with so much corruption that it's now coming to a head. And the main reason this has all happened is what Thomas Jefferson said. All that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. And so we know the answer. Fight corruption wherever you find it. Stand up for your rights and your freedoms, and we'll defeat tyranny. Anything else, Chris?
Well, you know what? You know, the small levels of corruption, which are really big, but in the grand scheme of things aren't that big. The biggest thing that we got to take down is the bankers. And I don't think, you know, I personally don't have any idea how to do that. But
well, you audit the private Federal Reserve. You make them tell Congress where the trillions went. You make Congress take its authority back under the Constitution. Congress controls the issuance of currency and credit and sets monetary policy. And you also define that your local bank isn't the problem. It's the six global megabanks. Chris, I appreciate your call. Great points. Elliot in Ohio. Elliot, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Thanks for having me on. My thing is, I agree with Janice about the foreign policy, and I also agree with Chris, but I think it's a 1-2 punch as far as the big lies concerned. They trick you into believing in this Al-Qaeda, this ghost enemy. And while they're doing that, $23.7 trillion leaves the back door. But, of course, the number's bigger now. And, you know, the biggest problem I have with this war is when you talk to people, and I talk to people 18 all the way up into their 50s, who is the enemy? It's a very simple question. No one can seem to answer
it. It's a perfect, foggy enemy that can never be defeated and can always have a new name. And then when you get the internal Homeland Security training manuals, 90%+ of the training is for gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. So you've got conservatives going, yeah, beat them Arabs. They're attacking America. They want to build a mosque at Ground Zero. They want to get us. Get out of here, foreigners. But meanwhile, It's our own government that radicalized many of these groups, and the government itself is training to take on the very good old boys that don't understand this whole thing set up for them.
Right, exactly. And actually, I actually have a question for you real quick, because I'm kind of batting around on the idea, like, drug decriminalization versus drug legalization. In my mind, even if you decriminalize it, if it's still a criminal act, doesn't the CIA still get their cut? Or whichever other organized group ultimately that shifted
We've seen on average a 24% within 2 years drop in violent crime, home invasions, muggings, rapes when a state passes concealed carry and more people have guns. So we know more guns actually means less crime. And we've seen this in more than 16 states now in the last 15 years that have done this. Texas had over a 20%, Florida a 25%, but the average is about 24-25. We don't know what drug legalization would do because nobody's ever done it. Since about 1933 when they criminalized drugs, we know before that you had much lower levels of drug use because people, you know, knew not to go buy heroin and opium and cocaine. And people knew that if you drank more than two or three Coca-Colas full of several grams of cocaine at the time, that's why it's called Coke, folks, that you'd have a heart attack. So when it was all legal, much lower levels. But we don't have a modern example to show. We have many from areas of Asia and Western Europe where they've decriminalized. And what you do is you stop giving people big prison sentences, you stop prosecuting and filling the jails with drug dealers, and so now more drug dealers get involved, the price goes way down, and then they just quit. And then the few drug addicts you've got left, they go to local clinics and are given the drugs, and then it's no longer cool and counterculture, and a lot of them get off of it. None of it's perfect. I'm all for baby steps and decriminalization. All the anthropology, all the sociology, all the research shows is the way to go. Probably a Wild West total decriminalization would be the way to go. But for now, let's go with decriminalization. Anything else?
To all the people out there, we need to start, like, you know, really pushing on, like, even these Tea Partier types that I've talked to. Like, when you talk to them about, like, you know, $23.7 trillion out the door, let's indict Geithner. Come on, let's indict Paulson. They lie blatantly right there. You don't even need a law degree.
And we got all the videos where they won't say where the money went to Congress.
Exactly, but then they'll, like, you know, rebuttal, oh, well, you know, that'll never get through, that whole grand jury thing. But it's almost like they're scared to do it, because all of a sudden now you're going up against the real enemy, the monster. You're going up truly against the establishment, and
we've seen
where that leads.
Exactly. Elliot, great points. We're going to break here in a moment and go to Brian, Dwayne, Jesse, Brad, Revo76, Ed, Sonny, Joe, and others. The toll-free number to join us is 888-201-2244. Got a lot of other news coming up in the next hour on vaccines. They're back. The last flu season was admittedly a hoax. The H1N1, admittedly, a tenfold increase in violent seizures. The UK government admits it, but they're back saying you got to take it. We'll be covering that as well. But talking about red herrings, there are radical Muslims. Saudi Arabia is run by complete criminals who have hardcore Sharia law that I don't want to live under. But here is Raw Story. Fox News co-owner is funding Ground Zero Mosque imam. This is confirmed. This is also in the Associated Press and Yahoo News. And a few years ago, I pointed out that the majority of our stock market and the majority of Fox News is not owned by Rupert Murdoch. It is owned by Saudi Arabians, just like the Chinese own most of our T-bills. The Saudi Arabians own most of our media. They don't control it. They own it. You understand? They're not the directors of it, but now you want to know, the majority owner of Fox News is the person financing the mosque. Boy, what is Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity going to do with that news? They're going to hope you don't find out about it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
More on the Ground Zero Mosque being financed by the majority owner of Fox News. Oh, you didn't know that Rupert Murdoch is not the majority owner? He has a special deal where he controls it. Saudi Arabian interests own Fox News. 15 of the 19 hijackers reportedly came from there, if you believe the 9/11 fable. But we'll be talking more about that, the oil spill, and a lot more. But let's go to Blaine in Texas, then Dwayne and others. Blaine, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Basically, just to answer your question about why people accept the lies, I think people accept them because it's easier for them, because they don't know how much damage has been done. You know, I mean, when you find out you've been deceived about something.
No, that's it. You know, they don't want the responsibility. They like being spectators. They like going through life feeling like they have no responsibility. But it's fun to have responsibility. You're meant to be involved. You're meant to fight for liberty. If you don't, you will be a slave.
Right, right. And you know, it's basically like what you said earlier. I was thinking the same thing. You know, if you could condense what the federal government is, if you could condense them into one person, it would be. And if you were to trust them, it would be totally unmerited trust. So why do people trust government when they don't deserve it, you know? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But the reason I called, I wanted to point out an article to you. It's on lourockwell.com. It was written yesterday. It's called The Myth of the Engineered Recession. It's by Gary North. And can I read just like four or five sentences from it?
Sure.
Okay, it says, it begins with, there's a lot of myths out there, but of all the recent financial myths that afflict the conservative movement, this one is the most preposterous. Quote, the bankers engineered the 2008 financial crisis. And I was really surprised to see this on Lou Rockwell, and I read through it, and it's interesting. But
really, we have their internal emails. We know they sold the derivatives.
Right.
We know this is how the IMF and World Bank brought down third world countries. We know we have their 2002 documents where they were calling for it.
Right, and that's the thing. I was really
surprised. Well, really, for a decade, I said they'd use the derivatives to bring down the globe's currencies and then set up a world government backed by carbon taxes, and exactly what I said has now happened, not because I have a crystal ball, but because I'm reading their own documents.
Right, and like at the end of the article, it says, like in the conclusion, it says, the insiders did not engineer the economic crisis except insofar as they have used central banking to further their advancement beginning in 1914 in the U.S., central banking inevitably produces financial crises. Central bankers try to avoid crises by inflating, then stabilizing, then inflating, and in doing so, they create crises. The teaching of Mises. One intervention leads to the next. The insiders engineered the crisis of 2008 by building the flawed machine in 1914. They are now trapped. So are we. The money machine will break. The political order will change when the money machine breaks.
Oh, yeah, it's real flawed. They're getting total power, and when their system breaks by design, they offer us the new global SDR. I mean, I'm sorry. I have the IMF World Bank documents from 2002. I've been saying since then exactly what was going to happen, and it's happened. Well, what's your view on this?
Well, I mean, it's obviously designed to break. I mean, that's the whole thing. I mean, but like you said, I mean, it's they decide when it breaks, really.
Well, they're
like
getting the money
front.
And the power. They're not getting in trouble. They have set up the system where they have their regulators in all the positions of power so they could consciously. I mean, go back 3 years ago to the emails that are now public. Just one group of them that happened to make public, you know, disclosure. The Timberwolf emails from Goldman Sachs where they said this stuff is absolute S-H-you-know-what-T. And they said, but we're going to sell it and then destroy our competition when they buy it, and then we'll make money on the bailout. I mean, we know, see, so many people cannot get in their heads how diabolical these globalists are. But I have their own admissions. I know they engineered it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I think that's another thing why people accept that they simply can't. They can't accept that people would actually not have their interest.
Just like when the neighbors go, he was such a nice man, but he had 15 dead kids buried in his basement. Look, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, the former head of the Treasury, Wall Street Journal editor, has been on my show many times the last 5 years. It's only in the last 6 months he looks at all the evidence and says, they did this by design, they're doing this by design. Because he sees their policies, they want to make it as bad as possible. They tried to bring down the euro 2 months ago. Great points, Blaine. Other calls straight ahead, back in 60 seconds, InfoWars.com.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to the Alex Jones Show.
Well, many have said I'm the hardest working man in radio, and there's no doubt because I also make documentary films. We have the two biggest alternative news media websites, Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and we couldn't have done any of it without you. And we've got a good chance of beating the globalists if we continue to reach out to our fellow men and women and educate them about the nature of the New World Order and what the globalists are trying to establish. Now, coming up after I take some more calls, I want to get into the attempt to take over the internet, the Verizon Google deal, and other ways Homeland Security and cybersecurity are openly stating they want to end freedom on the web as you know it and put FCC regulations over it. I want to get into the whole flu season coming up and the way they're pushing the same H1N1 shot that caused so many serious bad health reactions. I also want to talk about what's happening with the Gulf oil spill and the cover-up of the fact that 70% of the oil spill is not cleaned up. That's a new lie they put out a month ago that's now been exposed, and that there's ruptures all over the sea floor and that it's still leaking. Major news like St. Petersburg Times, Associated Press are reporting this, talking to scientists who are out there, but it's not a big nightly news item on CNN and Fox. And so now, because they can't deal with this crisis, they're just going to tell the public everything is fine and the seafood's healthy and there's no health problems from the oil or core exit. You know, all the same stuff they did with the Exxon Valdez. The average lifespan is 51 years from that disaster, which was much smaller, where core exit and other dispersants were used. So that is all coming up here in my key news stacks today. But let's go back to your calls. And for those who just joined us, I've thrown out the question, how many lies is enough from government? 100? 1,000? 10,000? 1,000,000? They lie more often than not. How do you know they're lying? Their lips are moving. Why do people put up with it? Are they going to put up with it? What do you think the biggest lies are? We're taking your phone calls. And then I'm also going to get back into the situation being reported on by AP, Yahoo News, and Raw Story has the best boil down of it, linked up on Infowars.com. Fox News co-founder, co-owner, funded Ground Zero Mosque Imam report. Again, Fox News co-owner, funded Ground Zero Mosque. And this isn't some small owner. He's the biggest owner. And I remember this deal about 5 years ago because he was already a big owner. And then Rupert Murdoch still was the biggest owner. And they had to get a government waiver to allow a foreign member of royalty from a foreign nation to own media here in the U.S. And they got the waiver by this prince signing a waiver that he doesn't have decision-making involved with Fox. And that Rupert Murdoch and his son and his wife would have it. And I'm not here bashing Arabs or Muslims. I don't want to have new wars. But seriously, Saudi Arabia is out of control. And it oppresses its people. And it controls so much of our debt, bought so many of our bonds. It owns, well, I saw a report a few years ago in the Financial Times of London that the majority of world stock markets, the actual markets themselves, not the stocks, but the stock exchanges, are owned by Saudi Arabia and other Middle Eastern interest. And why aren't you hearing about this? I mean, if you're against the mosque, and I'm not against it. I don't like it. I think it's distasteful because people have said it's making them angry and they've got a lot of other property they could pick. But I do believe in property rights. And so if you take their right to build this away, you lose your property rights and your First Amendment, your religious rights. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But you just can't take their rights. If you take their free speech, if you take their property rights away, you lose it. But this is a big issue, having the number one donor being the number one percentage owner in News Corp, the owner of Fox. Okay, let's go to your phone calls. Dwayne in Georgia, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my my call. It's the second time I've got a chance to talk to the honorable, very honorable Alex Jones, and you are absolutely the most powerful and hardest working man in radio, no question about it. And a legend to me.
No, I'm just doing my duty, but God bless you, sir. My listeners, my listeners and my crew are the legend. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Alex, you know, you and your team are doing a really great job, and we're very proud of you out here in the state of Georgia. And I got a team out here myself that's really helped me out a lot with put a lot of money into it, burning your DVDs and getting them out. And if you don't mind, with your permission, I'd like to say thank you to a couple of very good friends of mine that mean very much to me.
Sure, go ahead.
Thanks a lot, Rick, for your hard work and your help, and Scotty and Bill Lunsford. These guys have really contributed their money and their time to help get the message out, and just thanks from your buddy Dwayne. Anyway, your question at the top, at the beginning of the show there, what was the biggest scam that we think has ever been pulled on the American people? And I think no doubt it was the Federal Reserve back in 1913. The second one, I think, was JFK, and, of course, the third one, I think the next biggest one would obviously be 9/11. Is the info war working? Absolutely. Alex, I can't hardly go anywhere. I drive a truck for a living. I can't hardly go anywhere. Well, I was at an AT&T store the other day getting my phone thing straightened out. And I run into two people in there that knew about you. And her husband's an info warrior. He burns DVDs. So, yeah, the message is working. And sometimes we get discouraged, but y'all keep your chins up and keep pushing forward. Keep burning them DVDs and spreading the message. And don't give a damn what anybody thinks about what you tell them. If they don't want to listen, move on. That's what we do, and it's working well for us.
Exactly. If our ancestors could die on Bunker Hill to defend the basic liberties we enjoy that produced all this wealth and everything we've got, who cares if a neighbor thinks you're a kook? Who cares if your pastor thinks you're a nut? Who cares if your boss laughs at you? But here's the deal. They laughed at us 10 years ago, but because we warned them, now they've seen it all come true. They're not calling us kooks anymore. I walked in a grocery store today and literally was mobbed. I went in a gas station, was mobbed. Then I went in another store to buy an auto part, and literally there were five guys that worked there, all listeners but one, and then they had some people buying stuff at the auto parts place, and they were all fans. Then I went in another place doing errands, and they were all listeners. And again, the last domino to fall, we've discredited the globalists, the world government's out in the open, people know the Federal Reserve's private, now the polls are over 80% want to audit or abolish it. But the last domino to fall is that we still feel like we're the minority. Over 90% of Americans in major polls know the government killed Kennedy. Again, people know the truth now, and they don't buy the lies, but they still feel like they're all alone. So many times I'll be talking to neighbors, especially if a new neighbor, you know, moves in and my kids are playing out in the cul-de-sac or whatever, and I'll say, well, I'm a radio talk show host, and, you know, some people might think it was, you know, conspiracy, and they go, it's not conspiracy. Alex, I've been a listener for 5 years. It's just like, it's almost like Fight Club or something with Tyler Durden. Wherever he goes, everybody's already in on it, and he doesn't even know that everybody knows what's happening. But it's insane. And the responsibility of it, Dwayne, really shakes me at my core, but a lot of responsibility's off my shoulders because the word's out there now and the fires of liberty have been ignited, they've spread, and there's no putting them out. Now, it's a tough road we've got to go down here, but folks need to know we have turned the corner. And Ron Paul and many other people who've been doing this longer than I have, I've talked to them on air and off air, and they agree that this is inexorable. Many people, like G. Edward Griffin, he agrees that the momentum has now shifted, but people have to understand we're not going to beat this overnight, Dwayne. It's that pounding. It's that every inch we step, every move we make, everything we do, just inexorably, it's a thing of will. We have to take action and have the truth and not care what people say and just keep coming and nothing can stop us. God bless you. I really appreciate your call. It buoyed my heart, my soul. What did the founder of the Texas Rangers say? Incredible, you know, guy, hero, tough guy, you know, took on 20, 30 people at a, you know, time sometimes. He said, somebody in the wrong can't stand up against somebody who's in the right who keeps on a-coming. You just got to keep on a-coming, and nothing can stop you when you got truth and justice on your side.
was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride.
Okay, let's accelerate through your calls. Quick comments, quick questions, because I want to get to everybody. And I've still got four big stacks of news we've got to get to. Let's talk to Chris in Kentucky. Chris, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good, sir. Welcome.
I just, you know, this mosque issue, I'm very suspicious about it. There's something brewing that I think that the demonstrators that I heard on local talk, you know, the ones that are saying no and the ones that won't say yes, and there's always this argument between the others. I think we're going to have something what we had in Seattle when they're going to send the anarchists in there, and then they're going to turn the police loose, and they're going to round them up and take them to that bus terminal like they did several years ago. Something's brewing. Something is really going to be brewing. I think this is a way to set up the police state.
Well, I tend to agree with you. What do you think the biggest lie of the New World Order has been?
The biggest lie of the New World Order? That those troops are coming home from Iran. I don't believe they are. I think they're going to keep another 50,000 there because I think they're going to use them to get that war going with Iran. This is such a spin and a big lie. I'm so sick of this.
Chris, I hear you. Let me briefly comment on that because that's one of the issues I covered at the start of the broadcast. If you go back to Bush 3 months into the invasion in 2003, he stood on the deck of an aircraft carrier wearing a fighter pilot outfit, a flight suit, saying mission accomplished, combat operations are over. And the majority of troops have died since then. They have increased the troops in Afghanistan. They have increased the contractors in Iraq. And Army Times, Kate Brennan reports that they have changed the name. So they took out one rotation of troops, and they're now designating other combat brigades under a new name, but they'll still be in combat. So, yes, it's semantical deception. They're just playing word games. As the final convoy of the Army's 4th Stryker Brigade combat team based at Fort Lewis, Washington, entered Kuwait early Thursday, a different Stryker Brigade remained in Iraq. Soldiers from the 2nd Stryker Brigade combat team of the 25th Infantry Division are deployed in Iraq as members of an advise and assist brigade, the Army's designation for brigades selected to conduct security and force assistance. And then it just goes into the 50,000 troops in Iraq, the 67,000 in Afghanistan, and the hundreds of thousands of mercenaries, contractors, that they've actually been increasing. So that's another Orwellian deception being used there. The Pentagon says our troops will be there till 2020. They've built hardened structures, giant bases, and they're turning it over to a private army, similar to the privatization of police and security happening here. So it's a fully occupied nation. People will continue to die. It's a lie. Let's go now to Jesse in New York. Jesse, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. How you doing?
Good, sir. Welcome.
I think that we've been conditioned that the government lies and that it's for our own good.
No, that's a big part of it, but it's not for our own good. We're going bankrupt. You know, they told us NAFTA and GATT was going to be great, and Al Gore said on Larry King Live to, you know, shut up, Ross Perot, this is a good deal. No, it's an insider deal. It doesn't help Mexico. It doesn't help us. It helps these globalists and destroys our standard of living. It consolidates wealth but destroys our industry.
Yeah, I seen the Expendables the other day. I don't know if you know what it's about.
No, it's some action movie that's got like 10 big stars in it.
Well, it's about it's a CIA drug operation in another country that gets taken over by some member of the CIA, which could never really happen, but that's what happens.
Well, they're selling this idea that it's rogue corruption. It's rogue problems. Jesse, I appreciate your call. Let's talk to Brad in Idaho. Brad, you're on the air.
Thanks, I'm honored to talk to you. You know, I think that God has blinded our eyes because to the corruption.
Given us a great delusion.
Because we don't care as a people, generally. We don't care about truth and justice.
Yeah, no, we think 51 million aborted babies, that they're not humans. And so why shouldn't they pass death panels and start trying to euthanize old people like Europe? Why shouldn't they start up, eugenics in this country? Because if we'll say 50 million, you know, dead babies is no big deal. I mean, if we'll say it's liberal that 51% of blacks have been aborted in this country and that it's racist to not want to kill black babies and it's liberal to want to kill them, I mean, that's a lie. To say mercury is good for your children's brain, that's a lie. They just test these lies. They sell us and condition us and marinate us in lies until we don't know which end is up anymore. But I think the sleeping giant is awakening and finding its soul again. Go ahead.
And even in the Christian community, which I am one, Christians have put their end-time theology above truth and justice.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. The Baptists, the Catholics, the Methodists. I mean, I've been to many churches, Methodists and Baptists, trying to find a church. And you walk in and they're, turn your guns in for the Lord. Open the borders, it's of the Lord. And I see people, listeners send me the newsletters from Catholic churches and others saying, turn your guns in, it's good. It's because the major national organizations are being paid off with stimulus money in the faith-based initiative. It's called the Clergy Response Team. Just search that term. Mainstream news that 50,000-plus preachers have been secretly trained to brainwash their flocks to accept tyranny. But look, we have the First Amendment, not just for free speech in the press, but that government cannot be involved in religion in any way because governments try to take over religion and use it for control like Hitler did, and now what's happened? These churches are demonic whorehouses. Go ahead.
And see, and the reason why the people that go to those churches believe the lies is because their end-time theology has them convinced that it's okay to bomb the Arabs. And so that's why God has blinded the eyes of the Christians, because they've put... In the book, Palestinians Caught Between Two Fires, written in 2002, a Palestinian pastor born and raised there, and he was a Christian pastor in the Gaza Strip, he said the problem with America is they're blinded by their end-time theology. And Abraham Lincoln said the same thing. The Civil War didn't have to happen, but the people, both South and North,
that's another
blinded
great point
by their injustice.
Brad, I hear you. No, it's the same thing. People in Germany didn't fight back because they thought it was the end of the world. They thought Hitler was the Antichrist. Same thing with Stalin. Same thing with Lenin. Same thing today. Oh, I don't have to get involved. So what if they want kids to wear RFID chips sewn into their clothes at public school? So what if they, you know, want to do all this? So what if they're face scanning me and naked scanning me? It's the end of the world. I'm just going to give in to it. I'm just going to go along with it. It's not my job. God will handle it. Well, the founding fathers said it well. Justice depends on the people taking action. And duty is ours. Consequence belongs to God. I mean, that's like if you see a woman being raped in the middle of the street, this happens all the time. You hear about someone being raped in an alley or beaten or an old man being stabbed and people for hours will walk by them. They don't want to get involved. It's not their responsibility. Well, then your neighbor doesn't care about you either. So nobody's going to stand up for you. And we create a hellish society. Okay. I want to come back and go to Revo76, Ed, Joe, and a bunch of other callers. We can take millions. I want to hear from all of you. But I've got some other news I need to hit on with the flu. They're now going to push that again with the deadly vaccines. The oil spill. The mosque funder at Ground Zero being the Fox News owner. You can't make this stuff up. It's all coming up.
We've got it.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Okay, let's run through some news and some more of your calls. In the next segment, I'm going to break down in detail how Google and others are basically government front companies trying to take over and end the free internet as we know it. This is so important. Not just to the web, but to free speech itself and the conduit that the American people and the people of the world are using to expose this global corruption. But here's some of the news. I mentioned this, but it's in AP, it's in Yahoo, and Raw Story's got a good boil down of it. Fox News co-owner funded Ground Zero Mosque, Imam report shows. Now, I wonder if you're going to hear Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and good old Glenn Beck talk about that tomorrow. I don't think so. The second largest shareholder in News Corp, and my info is he's the number one shareholder, The parent company of Fox News has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars, including $300,000 to this. And it goes on, specifically to the Muslim community. According to the report from Yahoo's John Cook, Saudi Prince Al-Waid bin Tali, who owns 7% of News Corp, has directly funded the project to the tune of $300,000, the very imam building the mosque. Cook reports that Prince Al-Waid's personal charity, the Kingdom Foundation, has donated $305,000. That Fox News' second largest shareholder, after Rupert Murdoch, has financial links to the Ground Zero Mosque will be seen as ironic by critics of the news network. I just thought I'd throw that out there, regardless of which side of this issue you're on. Look, I can see why people are mad about it, but it is a property rights issue and a free speech religion issue, First Amendment. So we'll see what happens. Here's ABC News. The Reverend Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham, says President Obama was born a Muslim. Well, that's actually true. His dad was a Muslim. He took the name Barry Sataro, went to a Muslim school for many years in Indonesia, gave up his U.S. citizenship. And polls show that a majority of Americans, upwards of 70%, question where he was really born, and over 25% believe he is a Muslim. So the system is definitely upset about that. My whole point on this is, let's give the 9/11 rescue workers, the paramedics, the police, the firemen, the military people, the health care they need from the asbestos poisoning in their lungs. That's still being blocked almost 9 years later. You know, they told you, oh, the air is good to breathe. Just like, oh, Obama says, core exit's good for you. There's no health problems in the Gulf. We've played those video clips. You know, the EPA says there's no problem. You know, that's the issue. Not obsessing over this mosque two blocks away. But if you want to obsess over it, why is one of the biggest owners of News Corp involved in it? In other news dealing with the oil spill, and this has all been posted in the last few weeks up at InfoWars and Prison Planet, but it's hard for me to get my mind around it. It's hard for me to psychologically deal with it that the St. Petersburg Times, the Associated Press, countless newspapers are interviewing. I saw one news article, they interviewed 10 scientists, including heads of universities, oceanographers, people who'd been out in the Gulf and videotaped with their own submarine submersibles, their own robots, that there's fissures 20 miles away, 1 mile, 2 miles, 8 miles. It goes all the way out 20 plus miles. They're now saying 22 miles to be technical. And it busted up under the ocean floor. It's still leaking. And they don't stop there. NOAA runs around. That's the big, you know, federal National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, if you want the acronym's full meaning. They're the folks that, you know, issue the big national and international weather reports. It turns out they went around threatening universities and their federal funding. That's why it's dangerous to have most of the funding universities being federal, because they can control what they say and do, saying, shut up. That's the quote in the St. Petersburg Times. Shut up. Shut up. 70% of the oil is gone and there is no leak. There are no fissures. And now they've been forced to back off. I've got a whole stack of news, Zero Hedge, Reuters, Huffington Post. I've just got a whole bunch. NOAA claims scientists reviewed controversial report. The scientists say otherwise. Senior NOAA scientist admits he lied. The Gulf oil spill is gone. Puts administration spin, disclosure, credibility in question. It just goes on and on. BP accused of hiding oil leak information by owner of rig involved in explosion. That's out of the Examiner. Most oil BP spill remains. Al Jazeera. I mean, look, they're just telling you there's no problem down there. Oh, the food's safe to eat. Oh, there's no health problems. Oh. And before I hit a few final calls and then get into this key internet takeover news, and it's the same for talk radio. They're trying to take talk radio over. You've got the diversity czar at the FCC and others, and Cash Sunstein, the regulations are saying they're going to set up community boards that will speak for the community, that will decide what can be on the radio and not. And community means Soviet and Russian. I mean, that's what this is. The government says, oh, we have a non-governmental organization we appointed, and they say, you're bad, so you can't say this. But vaccination advice includes adults, flu shots for everyone. This is out of the Charleston Post. I saw the same thing in the Statesman. It says everyone needs it, and the H1N1 vaccine will be included in the regular seasonal flu shot. They really want you to take the H1N1. They admit it was very weak compared to regular flu. We had a record low seasonal flu and H1N1 last year. I had Wolfgang Wardarg, the head medical doctor of the EU Commission, 47-member group, conclusively found fraud, the British Medical Journal, and they don't care. They think you're stupid. I mean, I've seen major companies like Walgreens still running ads in the news and with signs out front saying, get your H1N1. And weeks ago, the UN admitted it was a hoax, and the WHO, World Health Organization, said you don't have to take these shots. And, in fact, pull up the London Telegraph because folks won't believe it. I covered it a few weeks ago. Children having fits, government suspends H1N1 shot in England. And we have similar news in the U.S. And then in England, they call convulsions fits. Later in the article, it says convulsions. Tenfold increase in convulsions. Chronic brain inflammation. Blood running out their noses. Their brain swells so much. That's what brain damages them. There it is. Flu jab linked to fits and under fives officials. Government's been told doctors not to use particular flu jab in 110,000 children under the age of five after it caused violent convulsions. And then later in the article, it says a tenfold increase in convulsions. I remember 4 years ago when they were doing trials of Gardasil, the cervical cancer vaccine. And they admitted massive increases in autoimmune disease, brain damage, people dying. And they approved it, and they had a hoax saying you had to take it for girls under 13, and a bunch of them died. I mean, they just don't care. They just don't care. It's like in 1981. They knew that Prozac was causing massive increases in suicide. It took from 81 to 2005 to get all of the serotonin reuptake inhibitor class of drugs, the Prozac class, to put in there. It increases suicidal activity, violent activity. Every major shooter at schools and colleges, every time a mother straps her four kids into a car, drives it off a cliff, or chops her baby's arms off, you've all seen it. They're always on this stuff. Because in studies with other animals, rats, shrimp, it doesn't matter. That shrimp study came out, a month ago. It makes shrimp just swim right up to birds and be eaten. Or it makes shrimp just stop eating and just sit there and die. It takes your inhibition away. And so somebody has a crazy impulse to take a meat cleaver and take their toddler and chop their arms off with blood spraying everywhere. They do it. So many cops I've talked to. I was talking to one cop from San Antonio, and he talked about years ago. They pull up to this woman's house. It's this beautiful 30-something-year-old woman with butcher knife slicing herself naked on the roof, and then she jumps off and runs at him with it. And of course, it came out she was on those drugs. I mean, people don't normally dance around naked with butcher knives on roofs. It's in the hallucinogenic class. It is in psychotropic drugs are hardcore. Point is, the flu vaccine's being pushed. Everybody's being brainwashed and told to take it again. It's the same hoax to make tens of billions for vaccine companies, and it's very dangerous, and we have evidence they're adding other things to the shots as well. Okay, final segment, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, live. I want to play a short video that really encapsulates Google's role with government in trying to take over the free internet as we know it. It's about 8 minutes long, and it's up at prisonplanet.com as the top story. Google's plans to take over the internet exposed. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. There's so much evidence of this. It's admitted. It's really happening. And we've got a good chance in beating the globalists if we can keep the internet alive and free and open. That's why they're moving to curtail it, to censor it, to control it. Here it is. Please get this video. Get it out to everyone you know. It's up at prisonplanet.com. Google's plans to take over the internet exposed. Here it is. The internet as we know it is in the process of being dismantled. It's known as Internet 2. More than a decade ago, a consortium of top tech companies, along with universities and government, began meeting once a year. And they openly said that they would expand the internet, get everyone addicted to using it, and as soon as society was completely reliant on it, they would unveil the fact that it was really a DARPA surveillance control grid to track and trace all human activity. They were really smart. They give you Google Earth satellite system so that everyone gets accustomed on spying on each other. And now the government is using it to harass farmers, to go after people building a shed in their backyard when it violates zoning laws, or to stop people from collecting rainwater.
Your name is Tom. You live just off of Fifth Street. Nice car, Tom. Nice house. What's not so nice is you owe Pennsylvania $4,212 in back taxes.
They've come out and said Google was founded with NSA and CIA money. But it's a lot worse than that. Google has been caught in the United States, Canada, Europe, Asia, driving around, not just taking photos and video for Google Street View. That's just the cover. But with electronic masks illegally violating wiretapping laws, grabbing everyone's wireless data and decoding it. This is a private mercenary army. Just like there's more Blackwater and DynCorp contractors in Iraq and Afghanistan than there are U.S. troops, Google is the quasi-private, quasi-governmental arm of this. Yahoo is to a certain extent and others. But Google, from its inception with NQTEL, CIA funding, is nothing but a government system to take over the internet and to steer and control the architecture of the growth and future growth of the web. Net neutrality is the internet. You can go anywhere in the world. All sites are basically equal. You don't have to pay to get access to certain sites. Those sites individually can do that, but to get to their homepage, you don't have to pay any extra money. And so the internet bills you've paid, the cell phones you've bought, the computers you've purchased, all of this has funded the growth of this infrastructure. And now Google and Verizon and others are getting together and openly saying that they will allow companies to pay for premium access on these new networks. So it's basically like a toll road company. We have Centra of Spain coming into Austin, Texas, where I live, buying off politicians and then placing toll roads on existing roads. That's pretty much what this is doing. But not only will you have to pay to get access to all sites, sites will have to pay Google and Verizon and others. All the big telecoms are talking about doing this, to be able to get access. So that allows them to censor what you're able to see. And they may not even allow you to pay them so that you can have access to the entire web. And separately, we now have the internet kill switch passing out of committee, very close to passing the Senate. It's already passed the House. And the government says we may have to shut down the internet to save it. So they're taking the internet and turning it not into a free encyclopedia of the world, something always growing that is truly democratic, where ideas are on a level playing field. No, they have become completely panicked by the fact that the new media in the last year and a half, and they admit this, is now bigger and more powerful than the mainstream media. The mainstream media has been caught lying about WMDs and so many other issues. They have little or no credibility. In fact, it's at all-time lows. So you have this perfect storm of major corporations who are getting their butt kicked by the free market on the web, and the government, who's being discredited worldwide, all coming together, whether it's in Australia or England or Canada or the United States or Communist China, the same systems of control are openly now being implemented. The FCC saying they're going to regulate the internet. We've got the Federal Trade Commission saying they want to tax the web. And we've got Google and other major providers coming in and saying that they're basically going to have a hostile takeover of the web as we know it and kill it. All it's going to be is basically like a glorified Netflix, where you have a few thousand choices, or a glorified cable system where you can only get to the big mega establishment sites and won't be able to get to the alternative sites. The Internet 2 Consortium admits that this is their plan. In fact, their slogan is "The Internet is dead." and they celebrate that they are killing the old, free, open, organic internet and forcing you onto this corporate internet. It's very similar to what happened about 90 years ago. They had just developed radio. It had become popular. A lot of people were using it. And the FCC came in and shut down the spectrum and only allowed select corporations to be involved. But they could argue that there was a limited spectrum then because it was broadcast. It was going through the air. This is different. The internet is unlimited. And they can't stand the fact that InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and many other alternative news sites are now dwarfing some of the largest newspapers in the world. The dinosaur media is scared, and they're striking back. They're coming in to defend their monopoly. And so if you want to protect the internet, if you want it to survive, call Congress, call your House members, your senators, and tell them, do not end net neutrality. And go after Google and others for the serious crimes they've committed. Driving around, seizing people's wireless transmissions. The good news is they've been criminally indicted in several countries. On a side note, Hal Turner, the admitted FBI asset that I exposed more than 5 years ago, has now been convicted in federal court of threatening judges. And they admitted, the FBI did, in those court proceedings that he was a national security asset and was doing what he did under orders. But still, the jury convicted him. And they used people like Hal Turner and others to demonize the alternative media and to use it as a pretext to start curtailing speech. Europe has already done it. Australia is moving to do it. So let's not let the system use these trolls and provocateurs as another way to demonize the web. This is all being done in the name of protecting us, keeping us safe. We see articles every day that the government's got to pass the Cybersecurity Act and have the power to start censoring or completely shutting down the web because Al-Qaeda or somebody else might hack into the nuclear power plants. There's just one big problem with that. Even the Wall Street Journal has reported on the fact that key infrastructure, military bases, B-2 bombers, coal-powered plants, nuclear plants, submarines, they're not hooked into the internet. They have internet in the facilities, but their key infrastructure is on its own internal systems. It's not true. It's a hoax that terrorists are going to bring down the internet. And finally, I'm concerned about a false flag terror attack. Not only are they lying about the fact that hackers can get into infrastructure and shut it down, the Pentagon admits that they're running drills of attacking themselves. And if you look at their past activities and their mindset, this is tailor-made for a false flag staged attack on the web, which will give them the pretext to exercise all this control that they're now preparing to impose on the web. The denial is over. This is really happening. Get the word out today. Send this video and the links below to everyone you know, and let's keep the internet free and open. The system is scared for a good reason. The population of the planet is using the internet to really educate themselves and to rediscover liberty and freedom. And the would-be tyrants are scared. They want to keep their corrupt system going. Thank you for watching. All right, folks, so we're almost out of time here, but Wired Magazine has a headline that the internet is over, that the web is dead. And they say, oh, it's just turning into something new. Yes, run by the big mega corporations. There's the headline. The web is dead. Long live the internet. And so they're phasing out its original architecture and putting it in the hands of the top globalist companies. Please get this video at PrisonPlanet.com. Get it out to everyone you know. Send the link out. Google's plans to take over the internet exposed. It does it in 8.5 minutes. I appreciate the crew, all the great callers, the sponsors, all the great stations picking us up. If you want to support us, please buy the T-shirts, the books, the videos that are available at InfoWars.com and continue to spread the word about the broadcast. See you back live 11 a.m. tomorrow Central.